Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, find the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, founder and publisher of MaxList. To get your dream job, you need clear goals, great skills, and a good network. You also have to know how to look for work. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month, I interview a MaxList reader who found a job they love. Our guest shares how they did it and offers their best job search tips. Our guest today is Andrew Peters. He joins us from Washington, D.C. He's the associate director at Arabella Advisors. It's a certified B corporation that works with philanthropic clients to create social change. Andrew Peters knows the value of relationships. He also says you need a strategy to make the right connections. In an article you can find on the MaxList website, Andrew shares how he asked his LinkedIn connections to give him insights into the job he has now. One of these contacts even forwarded his resume to the hiring manager. Andrew says it also helped to put himself in the hiring manager's shoes when he prepared his application. And Andrew said he was candid with interviewers about why he was leaving a previous job after less than a year. Want to learn more? Join us in the MaxList studio now as we talk to Andrew Peters. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And now, as I mentioned in the introduction, you're the associate director at Arabella Advisors. Andrew, why do you love your job?
Oh, that's such a good question. I have loved my career, I'll say, because I get the opportunity through many different jobs and through this one in particular to feel like I'm doing something in the world that's creating change. And especially now at Arabella Advisors, with all that's going on in the world and all that can make us, or make me, I won't speak for everybody, make me stressed and bite my nails. It's nice to have the ability to work on solutions. And that's something that I get to do at Arabella Advisors.
Well, it sounds like a terrific opportunity. Now, let's talk about your search, Andrew. When you were looking for the job you have now, what was your biggest challenge?
Well, my biggest challenge was one of the things you just mentioned, was a sort of mental challenge around leaving the job that I had had with only 9 or 10 months on my record. And I thought, how am I going to overcome that in the job search? How am I going to prove that I'm not a sort of flight risk? And that proved difficult a little bit, but I sort of thought of and bounced ideas off of people who had done it and thought of some strategies to address that part of my resume. And then I guess a second challenge I'd talk about is just trying to think about the eternal question of what do I really want to be doing? Like, what do I want to do with my life? And taking one step in the direction of figuring that out by trying something that I knew I had the skills for, but hadn't really tried before, which is philanthropic consulting.
Well, let's dig into both of those points, because I know our listeners will be interested. Let's talk about the first one, Andrew, because I think many people may find themselves in that situation in their career. They're in a position for less than a year, and they see another opportunity. It excites them, but they think, how am I going to get in front of a hiring manager who might think I'm a job hopper or I'm unhappy in my current position and might not be such a great candidate as a result? How did you deal with that?
Well, a couple of ways. I mean, I will never know, Mac, who did not look at my resume or who didn't read my cover letter because they saw that. But I do know that a couple people did. You know, I had a couple of interviews at the time. So I think, you know, one way I approached it was sort of being head on in the cover letter itself and saying nothing disparaging at all ever about where I had worked, but just talking candidly about the type of transition that I was looking to make. You know, talking in aspirational terms about what I wanted to achieve at my current job and, you know, how the fit was not right and how I was looking to achieve that at at the organizations that I was applying to. So I'd say one thing, which is being very candid in the cover letter. And then, to be quite frank, I knew, because that might be a barrier for some people, that I was not going to be successful, or I thought that I wasn't going to be successful unless I had some sort of connection, some sort of in, somebody that could forward the resume or say a good word. So I tried to look for that as well.
Okay. So you knew that that question might be front and center for some hiring managers. Why does this applicant want to make this change? And you dealt with it in a forthright way, it sounds like.
I tried to, certainly. Yeah. Again, for some, they might have looked at my resume and said, you know, that's no good. That's a red flag. But, you know, I had spoken to a couple of people and in Washington, and I feel like here, I can't speak for all places, but here it seems like that's relatively common, that people leave jobs pretty frequently, and seems to me to be a little bit more of a trend. So I spoke with people who had done it and talked with them about what they'd done. And they said, you know, no sense in trying to pretend it's not there. And, you know, most hiring managers seem to be understanding that every once in a while you get into a job that just wasn't right. And are looking to do something different. So I ran with that and tried to confront it head on. Yeah.
Let's talk about your second point about getting clear about what you wanted to do next. Mm-hmm. How did you do that, Andrew? Because, you know, we all struggle with that in our careers as we develop new interests, new skills. What worked for you this time?
Yeah, I think I'm getting to the point where I'm realizing that perhaps I'll always be asking myself, what do I want to do with my life? So for me, it was looking at the job market, looking at things that were available and thinking, what is a combination of something that I could do, something that I have the skills to do, that is, something that I think I might enjoy, because there's no guarantee that you'll enjoy it, but you can take a good guess by asking people what the job is like. And, you know, does that job sort of contribute meaningfully to the world? And that was important to me. So I looked at those factors and thought, gosh, this could work for me. And it might not be, you know, it might not be where I spend the rest of my life. I hope my boss isn't listening to this podcast. It might not be where I spend the rest of my life, but I was confident at the time, and I'm still confident that it was the right step, and it was a good step for me to explore something that where there was sort of alignment between the skills that I had and something that I felt was going to be meaningful.
And I like those three factors that you laid out there, Andrew, because the first one, you know, something I could do. Many people stop there and they apply for jobs that they could in fact do, but often they spread themselves a little bit thin and they're not as successful as other candidates who might also get interviews and but have other reasons that drive them besides just wanting to do a job that matches their skills. So I think that was really smart on your part to think critically about that. Andrew, once you found the position that you applied for, you talked about this a moment ago, you used your connections to get insight about the organization. Tell us more about that.
I did. I sort of reached back. I was in a fortunate position to reach back through my networks to former colleagues, former bosses who had connections to the organization and who knew people who had worked there and who currently do work here. And that was via LinkedIn. You know, I waver on how valuable LinkedIn can be sometimes, but in this instance, it was very helpful in identifying people that I knew that knew people at my current firm, Arabella, and was able to work through them, ask them politely to facilitate an introduction, and they did. I think most people want to see you succeed in this world. So everybody said yes, and was able to get some sort of firsthand intelligence on what the job was. And then was able to also sort of forward my resume to people that worked within the firm already, which which was, I think, very helpful. I understand that the job was that there were many applicants for the job, and that it was a pretty competitive position. So I think that was very helpful.
And one point you make in your article on the MaxList website is the person who forwarded your resume was not somebody you knew directly, but they were a connection of a LinkedIn connection, weren't they?
That's right. Yes, it was. It was a connect. It was a friend of a friend, so to speak. And it was somebody that I chatted with quickly on the phone. And, you know, I said, if you know the right person and you're willing to forward it to that person within the firm who's looking at resumes, you know, that would be really helpful. And no pressure. It's not a hard ask. It's only if you feel comfortable. And that person said, oh, yeah, I feel comfortable doing that. So they did that for me, which was, I think it's something that you've actually talked about, Mac, in your blog post and in your book, which was if people are willing to do favors for you, even if you think that they might not. They're willing to have an informational interview. They're willing to help you out in ways that you might not expect, even people that you don't know very well. It helps them and it helps you and it gives everybody a good feeling, I think.
Yeah, I certainly have had that experience personally in my own career. And I hear stories like yours from other job seekers almost every day of people who they don't know particularly well, or maybe they're someone they met through someone, but these folks are willing to do a small service. And I think it helps, Andrew, and as you did in this instance, to have a very specific ask. You know, would you feel comfortable passing my resume along to someone inside the organization? So, kudos to you for making that ask. Aside from those conversations you had with former colleagues who knew people inside the organization, what other steps did you take during your search for this particular position that helped you be clear that this was the right move for you?
What did I do? I obviously read through the website, which I think is sort of 101, though there's only so much information you can get from the website. One thing I did is I looked at people who had this position. You very generously titled me as the Associate Director of Arabelle Advisors, though I am one of several associate directors who project manage it at Arabelle Advisors. And I looked at the other associate directors on LinkedIn and looked at their backgrounds, looked at what they'd done, looked at where they'd gone after Arabelle, sort of got a sense of their career trajectory. And out of the housing market, you might call it like comps, like who is comparable to me in this firm, and where do they come from and what are they doing? And I saw a couple of things, Mac, which was one, that people had done quite well. They'd come from great places and gone to great places, but also that I had a differentiation. I was similar to some of those people at that level, but I brought skills that were a bit new and different. And I thought, okay, so not only might I fit in, I might also be able to have some sort of a niche within the organization. And I think my preliminary assessment is that I'm right, but I'll let you know in a year.
Okay. Well, what other recommendations would you make to listeners who want to make a move similar to yours to find a job they can love?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say two things, maybe three. One, and I don't know if I put this explicitly in the blog post, but it gets really daunting and you can get really down on yourself. And I think, you know, I'm hopeful that if people listen to this, they find some tips and find some tricks, but there's one tip or one trick that it's just not to get down on yourself when the job search doesn't go the way that you want. I've had my share of heartache with not getting positions that I really wanted. I know how that feels. So just to be confident in your skills, and know that you do have them, even if you perhaps don't get that feedback from the jobs that you want, to sort of remain in that confidence. And then to that point, I think the second thing I'd say is, and we talked about this a little bit already, you can go through job lists or get recommendations for open positions from colleagues and think, I could do that. That's something that I'm able to do. But it's not something that you necessarily would be passionate about. It's not something that necessarily is a good fit for you. You're just sort of satisfying the basic requirements of the job. And it's sort of a trap that you fall into when you get desperate in job hunting, and I certainly have, where you apply for things that you think, oh, I could probably do it, or I might have to learn a couple of things, but I could probably get there. And that's fine to learn things on the job, but I know I just suggest that you take a critical eye to things that you really feel like you're qualified to do. Like if you were reading your own resume, you'd think, no doubt about it, that this person could do this job, and the things that person doesn't have are gettable skills or learnable things. And if you don't have it, just address it head on, you know, address it head on in either the resume or the cover letter and say, I'm looking to gain X, Y, and Z skills, or I'm looking to, or I have a history of building these skills on the job, et cetera. So those are the two things I'd say, Mac.
Okay, terrific. Well, we always close the interview, Andrew, by asking our guest about their number one job hunting tip. What is yours?
Ooh, my number one job hunting tip. My number one job hunting tip is probably to pick a couple people in your life, people who you worked with or who you worked for, and don't lose hold of those people. Maybe two or three people, and just say, I'm going to get coffee or lunch or drop a text to or a telephone call to, probably not a telephone call in this age, these people on a regular basis, and just let those people be your sort of bedrock of your network. I've certainly let people sort of fall out of my network, and that's just because I didn't put in the time to build those relationships. So if you start early, you can have a really strong bedrock for life.
Okay. Excellent advice. Well, thank you for sharing your story, Andrew. And listeners can learn more about Andrew Peters' job search by visiting maxlist.org/stories. And check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories. Every Friday, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who has found their dream job. Go to maxlist.org/stories. In the meantime, thank you, our listeners, for downloading today's bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job.